How do you do? To say that homosexuality is a lifestyle is deception, as the man in this story will testify. His behavior led to the death of his reputation and his early dreams, to the death of a marriage, his family relationship, and almost of himself. But there is life after death, as he discovered when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Maybe the world gives up on street people, but the motto at Pacific Garden Mission is, never give up on them. What began as a little storefront rescue mission on Chicago's Skid Row has continued without interruption since 1877. Today, the old lighthouse covers four floors of a large facility on State Street, as well as the Gospel League home for women and children not far away. Daily, Pacific Garden Mission cares for the homeless, providing food, clothing, and shelter to those in need. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the mission helps the lost find the way to new life through Bible study and counsel. And as this story reveals, nothing is too hard for God. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2519 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Well, honey, what do you think of our new son?
Well, what a surprise. I was all geared up for a girl.
Well, Jim was expecting a sister, too.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want anything to do with the baby brother.
Really?
Well, when Sis told him he had had a new brother, he said, look, you keep him yourself, Aunt Sis. I don't want him.
Oh, that's terrible, James. Well, we have to change that. Baby Ray is a gift from God.
That's true, but we were all hoping for a girl.
Because of the sensitive nature of this true story, parents should use discretion in letting small children listen and should also be prepared to answer questions. Names have been changed, but this is part one in the true story of a man we call Ray LaRoad, right now on Unshackled.
My older brother's rejection made me feel worthless and unloved from an early age. I felt rejected by Dad, too, because he worked nights, and we saw him only on weekends, and then he didn't want us to bother him. My brother was named after my dad and always received warm greetings from everyone. Mother and Dad both worked, so I was left in the care of others. When I was five, an older cousin took advantage of me. Though it was painful, I liked the attention it provided, so I let a neighbor boy experiment with me, too. When I started school, word got around, and my brother despised me even more.
You're nothing but a pipsqueak. Just get away from me.
Well, how come you don't want to play anymore, Jim?
Well, it's because you're a sissy, that's why. God, acting like a girl.
But that was part of the game. You told me to be the girlfriend.
You're not like the other guys. Mama's boy, mama's boy. You shouldn't have told Mom what happened on the bus.
But he pinched my ear so hard I still have the mark, see? And the bus driver didn't do nothing about it.
You should have just kept quiet.
He's got no right to call me queer. He's just as bad.
Look, just shut up and keep away from me. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say, because you're a loser and you're unimportant.
My brother's words hurt me deeply, as did the cruel teasing on the school bus. I wanted his approval so much, but I seemed to attract only rejection from males, and I desperately wanted to be accepted. Against our wishes, Mom and Dad put us in a parochial school when I was 12. There I got my first paddling for something I didn't deserve, adding to my resentment, and there I overheard Dad tell the principal that I had a mental problem. I was crushed. Resentment and rebellion filled my heart from that point.
Ray, what's eating you?
I want to go back to public school. I hate that school.
Why?
I hate the uniforms and I hate the haircuts. Most of all, I hate the principal. He's nothing but a hypocrite. Always criticizing us like he never does anything wrong.
Don't talk like that, Ray. We've warned you about being disrespectful to adults.
You said we could leave after one semester if we didn't like it.
I did not say that.
You did. You're a hypocrite, too, lying to us.
Ray! Your father and I believe that this is where you should be.
I seethed inside, rebelled all the more. I began fooling around with a school chum who introduced me to pornography.
You ever been with a girl, Ray?
No. I was going to once, but Mom and Dad found out and called her parents. We're not even allowed to talk to each other now.
Well, just as well.
Yeah, they kept saying in church that it's not good for a man to touch a woman.
I guess guys are okay, huh?
I'm not sure. Boy, the Sunday school teacher doesn't think so. I wrote him a love letter, and he tore into me after church.
Yeah?
Took me outside and said either I needed to be saved or else I needed to rededicate my life to the Lord.
When I was 13, I began working part-time in a laundromat. I had more freedom and became bolder in my flirtations. I hated crude and vulgar men and avoided them. My longing was for genuine affection. And not long after that, an older man came into the laundromat with another guy. When his friend left, I waited for an opportunity to begin a conversation.
Excuse me, but could you make change for me?
Sure. I'm Ray. What's your name?
My name's Lou.
How old are you, Lou?
I'm 38.
Are you married?
No, I'm divorced.
I'll bet you play the field. I'll bet you can have your pick. Just love him and leave him, don't you? What happened to your marriage?
Well, she just decided to leave. Didn't love me anymore and left.
She was a fool to leave you. Anyone would be lucky to have you. I'm a homosexual, Lou. I could take care of your needs.
No, Ray, I'm straight. And I'm not interested.
He walked out. But 30 minutes later returned and accepted my offer, beginning an affair that lasted for months. But my need for affection wasn't filled. The void was still there and growing because I knew in my heart he was just using me. The following school year, the new principal must have heard rumors about me because during the chapel service, he spoke out against homosexuality.
As children of God, we are called to live holy lives. The Bible teaches that it's not good for a man to touch a woman, but even worse, for a man to touch another man. Students, don't let anyone deceive you. You reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 tells us, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting."
It was then that I learned that the things I did in secret were wrong. And yet the need had grown so powerful I couldn't stop. Surely God must understand, I reasoned, and I continued my affairs. Then in the spring of 1975, the school showed a film about hell, and I went forward knowing I was a sinner. Asking Jesus to save me gave me a loophole, I thought. I was not sincere, but I thought God had to keep his word. My lifestyle didn't change. At 14, I stole a bottle of wine from the store and got so drunk while drinking with my friends that I became sick. Their mother called my mother, who came and took me home.
How could you do that, Ray?
No harm done, Ma. We're just having fun.
You don't even care about what you've done or how you look, do you?
Oh, what's a big deal, Mom?
Go to bed, Ray.
I'm sorry, Ma.
Get to bed. I'm going to call your father and the principal and the pastor.
I slipped in and out of consciousness that night, falling out of bed once. I was aware of the pastor's visit and my brother, who came in later and slapped me. The next day, I faced the wrath of my father, who took me into the woods, told me to strip, and then beat me with a stick.
God requires me to punish you, Ray. I have to. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You always had a rebellious spirit, son. You have to learn that behavior has consequences, and you reap what you sow. Now get dressed. I did this because I love you, Ray.
You don't love me. You never loved me. I heard you one day talking to the principal of school, and you told him you thought I had mental problems. You know how much that hurt, Dad? You can't say one good word to me, but you can say ugly things about me.
I'm sorry, son. I don't know why I said that.
Save your apologies. I don't need them or you. After a three-day suspension, I returned to school, my heart more bitter than ever. Some friends introduced me to marijuana, and I smoked pot every day to escape my unhappy world. I added glue-sniffing and open defiance to my growing list of rebellion. Once again, my parents confronted me.
You're using drugs, aren't you, Ray?
No.
That's a lie. We found these marijuana cigarettes hidden in your room.
You're spying on me.
We knew something was wrong. Your attitude, the way you act. So we bought this book that tells how to know if someone is using drugs. And you have 14 of the signs. Glassy eyes, slurred speech, drooling. It goes on and on.
Does it mention parents who hate you?
What's wrong with you, son?
You wouldn't understand.
We're going to call the school, and this time you'll probably be expelled.
Is that what you want?
We want you to straighten up.
If you don't straighten up, we're going to send you to a boys' home.
You hate me that much?
We love you, son.
Oh, you don't know what love is.
Why do you hate me, Ray?
I don't hate you. But if you ever lay a hand on me again, you'll be picking yourself up off the ground.
I was expelled from school and spent 6 months at home, forbidden to see anyone and doing all the housework. I fed on soap operas, fantasizing about my favorite actor. In the fall, I was accepted on probation at another parochial school. Right away, instead of calling me Ray, guys called me gay, which made me furious. I'd been straight all summer, but I was about to go down a road of no return.
We'll hear more about that in just a moment. Radio drama has been referred to as the theater of the mind. And that is certainly an apt description of Unshackled. These true stories come alive in the minds of our listeners in a much more vivid way than we could ever portray. And that is why Unshackled is so important to our visually impaired audience. For years, we have offered a free tape lending library of Unshackled stories for the blind. And now, we're very pleased to announce the availability of the Gospel of John Bible study course on audio tape. This six-lesson study of the Gospel of John is available on cassette tape, designed especially for those who are visually impaired and simply for the asking. Based on the Gospel of John correspondence course, which we have offered for years, this audio version will be a real help to those desiring to study the Bible but who are limited by their inability to see. For information on the Gospel of John Bible study course on audio tape, or the free tape lending library for the blind, just contact Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your mailing address.
As soon as I was off probation, the principal gave me permission to defend myself against the name-calling. So I kicked the first kid who called me gay, and I was never called that again. Instead, they focused on my weight and called me side of beef. But I was no wimp, as I learned one day at school when I had terrible pains in my lower abdomen. I called Mom.
I'm busy, Ray. I can't come and get you now.
Mom, I really hurt.
You only have one more class, and then you can come home on the bus.
But that class is P.E. You'll make me do things I can't do. I'm double over with pain.
Tell him you're sick.
Yeah, right. If you don't believe me, he sure won't.
I can't come now, Ray. You'll have to hang tough.
Sure enough, the P.E. teacher insisted I exercise leg raises, jumping jacks, even a 50-yard dash. On the bus going home, I was vomiting and spent the rest of the evening in bed. The next day, I was in the hospital being prepped for an emergency appendectomy. After I recovered, I went on a crash diet and lost 30 pounds. Sure enough, Dad criticized me for being too thin, but I didn't care. I liked the new look and jogged to keep in shape. The summer before my junior year, I began jogging with a neighborhood man.
So, you're an honor roll student, Ray. Well, good for you.
I wasn't always. Got kicked out of one school for using alcohol and drugs. I had a bad attitude.
What changed?
I did. I was fat and got tired of being ridiculed by the students.
Well, kids can be cruel.
Yeah, so can parents. But I lost weight, worked hard, and here I am.
Well, I'd say you're in great shape
now. Yeah, I plan to stay that way, even if Dad thinks that I've gone overboard. He always thinks the worst of me.
Well, he just doesn't understand you.
You know, Robert, I've decided that I don't care what he thinks or says. I'm going to do what feels right to me.
Good for you, Ray.
The trouble is, how do you know what feels right unless you try it?
I know just what you mean.
I'm really glad we got to know each other, Robert.
Me too, Ray. Oh, say, why don't you stop by the house and have a cup of coffee?
After 2 years of celibacy on my part, we became lovers and spent more time in his family room than jogging. One morning, his wife walked in and caught us. We were all shocked and embarrassed, and she ordered me out of the house. Later, I apologized and told her it was the first time and that it was all my fault. We both swore it would never happen again. But we were still meeting secretly. What a hypocrite I was, even inviting them to church with me.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 that our iniquities separate us from God. Are you separated from God by your sin? Well, perhaps you don't think you're so bad. Maybe you even work at living right. Well, hear what God says about that in Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Where have your iniquities taken you? To a place of fear and shame? Well, that's why God sent his only Son to die for our sins, so we could be made righteous in his sight. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 promises that Jesus is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. If you'd like to receive that gift of salvation, come to the altar right now.
Robert and his wife both went forward that day, and he later talked with me about it.
Ray, we have to stop seeing each other. I want to do what's right for my family.
You can't be serious.
Well, I have to think about my children and my wife.
She doesn't love you the way I do.
But, Ray, what we're doing is wrong.
God understands our need, Robert.
Well, how can that be? What we're doing, Ray, is sin.
I believe Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God can't go back on his word.
You think it doesn't matter what we do?
Oh, please don't stop seeing me. I need you. I didn't understand how deceived I had become because of my lustful desire. I had never really repented of my sins. Neither did I know Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Robert never followed through on his decision. Our deception led us into deeper darkness. And when his wife discovered our secret, she called my parents.
Ray, I can't believe this. How could you do something like that?
You wouldn't understand.
God calls homosexuality an abomination. Read Leviticus chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. You're condemning yourself to hell.
That's not true.
I got saved 3 years ago, right after I saw the movie The Burning Hell.
Then you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, son. It's wrong. You're not saved.
If you were really saved, God would change your life. Oh, Ray, can't you see that?
God understands my needs, even if you don't.
You're just trying to hurt us, aren't you?
I can't help being what I am.
You can't help it. You've chosen this awful lifestyle. You're going to a psychiatrist.
I made a couple of trips to a psychologist, but in spite of everyone's outrage, Robert and I kept secretly meeting. The stress and guilt was killing me. I developed chest pains, constant headaches, nervousness. Finally, I went to see a counselor from our church.
How can I help you, Ray?
Mr. Barker, I think I'm a homosexual.
Now, why do you think that?
Because I'm having a relationship with a man.
Are you saved, Ray?
Yes, sir. I went forward and asked God to save me in 1975. I stand on Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Do you date girls, too?
Yes. I've always had a girlfriend in school.
Well, then I don't think you're really a homosexual. I know you're not close to your dad and probably need a father figure, that's all. You'll be okay. You're just working through a difficult time in your life. Stop seeing this man and ask God to help you.
I left his office feeling very depressed and guilt-ridden. He didn't understand either. Not long after that, I swallowed a bottle of pain pills and all the prescription pills I could find. Then I went to bed, hoping to never wake up. Instead, I was just very sick for 3 days and lost 8 pounds.
Hello?
I tried to commit suicide, Robert.
What? Why?
Guilt, shame, anger, you name it, I feel it.
Ray, you know I love you.
Then let's go to California together.
But you need to finish school first.
Oh, sure. Happiness is always just around a corner, never right here. I've got to get away from everything and get my head straight. I joined the Army National Guard. On the entrance exam, I had to lie about homosexuality and my attempted suicide. But the summer before my senior year, I spent in basic training and loved it. And for the first time in my life, I had healthy male friendships and was even infatuated with a female recruit, a Sioux Indian. Meanwhile, love letters poured in from Robert.
Hey, mailman. Here's another letter for you. Hey, what's her name anyway? How come she only signs her initial R?
She doesn't want anybody to know about it.
Oh, married, huh? Hey, so what does the R stand for, huh? Huh? Racy?
Roberta.
Oh, man, I wish I got letters like that. Hey, lover boy. I think that Sioux Indian girl is in love with you, too, huh?
Yeah, she's cute, isn't she? Oh, we're supposed to have advanced training together next summer, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, you better choose between her and your lover back home there.
I plan on dumping my lover back home.
My parents came to see my graduation from boot camp, surprised that I had made it through without a problem, given how much I hated authority. But I liked military life. Robert called me as soon as I got home, and I reluctantly agreed to meet him in the park.
Ray, I really missed you.
Your letters reflected your longing.
Say, you look great. How did you like the military?
I loved it. 59 brothers and I was tempted only once. I had a special relationship with a beautiful girl. Your letters made me ashamed of you.
Well, let's go someplace where we can be alone.
Listen, Robert, I want out of this relationship. It's cost too much already for both of us.
Well, Ray, did that girl mean so much to you?
Ah, look at us. All we do is lie and cover up. I've attempted suicide and your marriage is on the rocks. It just isn't worth it.
I need you, Ray. I almost went insane this summer without you.
It's no good, Robert.
I'll kill myself if you leave, Ray. I mean it.
Ah, don't say things like that.
Ray, I'll get a divorce, I promise. And we'll live together. Please. You're everything to me.
Reluctantly, I agreed. and my senior year was miserable. At Christmas break, my brother came home and asked me to go for a ride.
Ray, I've heard that you've gone kind of wild. It breaks my heart. I had no idea what you were involved in. I kind of feel partly to blame for it.
Why?
Well, because of the way I treated you growing up. I mean, I let the kids around here abuse you and make fun of you.
I always hated it when they called me names, but it's done now.
Yeah, well, you know, all things considered, I couldn't have had a better brother, and I want you to know that I love you. Well, Ray, what is it? Well, what's wrong, Ray?
Oh, I wish I had heard that from someone when I was little.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. I'm really sorry.
A healing took place in our relationship that night, but sad to say, I was still at odds with Dad. I graduated from high school, and in July, had a complete physical exam before my second summer with the National Guard. X-rays revealed abnormalities in my chest, and I was sent home and hospitalized for more tests. They did a biopsy on lumps in my neck and discovered I had Hodgkin's disease, cancer of the lymph glands. I was afraid to close my eyes that night, afraid I might die in my sleep. And if I did, what then?
What then, indeed? Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of Ray's story, which may surprise you. Listening friend, why should you face any surprises on Judgment Day? The Bible makes it clear that you can know for certain that you have eternal life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Turn from your sin by truly repenting and invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life right now. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2519. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. Hearing from you is important to us. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Are you struggling with some problem? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you.